Moncrief on News Talk.
Let me save you the trouble.
Just making sure the same thing didn't happen to your spleen.
No other pain?
Just where I hit my hand with a hammer.
Let me see that. I'm going to call in a hand specialist. Reattaching this is...
It's just a tiny piece of a pinky. I ain't around with 12 surgeries for a year. Just cut it off and sew up the top.
I would strongly advise you against that.
Well, either you do it or I'll do it.
I'm not a surgeon. Let me bring in the surgeon and we can discuss. Okay.
Well, just so happens there's a surgeon right here.
Well, hold on. Oh, that's nice.
There she is. There you go. Watch your leg. There you go. Job done. Now, you care to stitch it?
That's Landman. New episodes every Monday on Paramount Plus. James Dempsey is here wearing his cowboy hat and showing off his chest hair. This is Yellowstone stuff, is it?
So, yes and no. It is part of, like, it's from Taylor Sheridan, who is the creator of Yellowstone and literally the guy keeping the lights on in Paramount Plus, because this is his seventh new show in 6 years for the network.
Crikey,
right?
Yeah.
But it's also comes from a creator named Christian Wallace, who made a podcast for the magazine Texas Monthly, which is all about kind of the Texan oil industry, and particularly this region called Midland, which is renowned or infamous, depending on your environmental status, for the fossil fuel industry and fracking and oil and all that kind of stuff, right? So that's a hugely successful podcast, and they thought, well, you know, we already have this whole collection of an audience who like the Yellowstone universe, surely they will be interested in this. And I have actually never seen a single episode of Yellowstone. And I just sort of feel like there's like five seasons of it now. And the ship has sailed for me. And I kind of have a sense of what it is without really knowing. And I'm kind of just content to let it go. But this is new and there's only a few episodes. So I said, I'll give it a go. And the thing I was struck by most when watching it was like I'm watching it going like, what is the opposite of camp? Because that's like what this is, right? This is like straight man camp, if you get me. He's, you know, we heard in the clip there, Billy Bob Thornton as Tommy Norris chopping off the top of his finger because God knows he couldn't possibly wait to see a surgeon.
No.
Right? And it's that kind of rootin' tootin', angry, Trump voting, quote unquote, show, right? He plays a landman. A landman, as far as I can work out, is like the dog's body of the oil industry, but kind of higher up than the people who work on the rigs. The kind of the overseer in charge of mineral rights. Don't really know what that is, I give you a sense. But like also in the first episode, there's a road that needs to be built and opened. And there's a corporate plane that's been robbed and exploded in an accident. And the landman seems to oversee all of this.
Okay.
Right? And Billy Bob Thornton is having a great time at this. I mean, I think you heard it in the clip there. He is chewing over the kind of rootin' tootin' lines that he's got. He makes a prolonged joke about his Stetson right at the very beginning of the first episode. It's that kind of show. I found it bizarrely entertaining, as in I have returned each Monday to the new episode to see what is going on. But I do want to make it very clear, I don't think this is a good television show. I think it's a very entertaining television show. And like my main issue with it, and not to be like, you know, the woke karate, right? But like my main issue with it is all of the women in it are useless, right?
Yeah.
So like the main women in the show are Ali Larter, she plays his estranged wife, Angela. She's hard drinking and bikini clad for almost the entire episode of every single one so far. Then we have Michelle Randolph as her daughter, Ainsley Norris. I mean, like a more shallow, poorly conceived daughter, I could not imagine, right? She's 17. She's beautiful. She takes her clothes off as much as she possibly can. She's surrounded by all these hard drinking, rootin' tootin' oil men, and they're all like eyeing her up, but also not eyeing her up in this kind of weird Christian evangelical kind of prudy way. It's all very, very strange, right?
Yeah.
Then they have a son. He's Cooper, played by Jacob Laughlin. He's playing the kind of emotional arc of the series. He's involved in a crew of oil riggers who are who have hearts of gold. So you can expect they're not going to make it very long. And indeed, they do not. All In, it's kind of like a very funny show. Jon Hamm shows up as a kind of evil corporate overlord who takes a phone call every now and again. Demi Moore, like fresh from her big year of The Substance, basically swims around the swimming pool for the whole thing, because I think all the women in it basically have to be in a swimsuit at some point. And like, that's kind of it. So for me, it loses out on being a really good show by failing all of the women in it. They're all just kind of hot. Like, that's kind of their role, to be either milfy hot or daughterly hot or whatever hot, but hot. And like, the men, meanwhile, are spitting, hard living, grumpy old men, but like, but straight.
Of course they are. Yeah. And his name is Norris. It's not like Chuck Norris.
I guess
It's a nod there. Yeah. Because I watched a bit of Yellowstone, and there's only really one female character, which is like Kevin Costner's daughter, who's supposed to be a lawyer. But her main qualification as a lawyer, or skill set as a lawyer, is showing off her backside in every single episode. So I don't know how this aids the whole lawyery thing.
Now, they do have a lawyer in this show as well. She also is a woman, played by Kayla Wallace. Her name is Rebecca Falcone, and she is she's suspicious to Tommy because she's like a corporate lawyer, if you get me. And she arrives wanting to put blame for some accident on somebody. So she's not to be trusted until, of course, she is to be trusted because she wins him a case or whatever. So like, All In, as I said, it is kind of like you're watching. This is a soap opera. Right?
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
Is a straight man soap opera. But I did, I cannot deny, I found it stupidly entertaining.
And yes.
Like, silly, like charming and silly in its own right, but like light and superficial as you can get.
Is there any, because the thing that's, because I ran out of interest in Yellowstone because everybody was unlikable and it was kind of fun for a while. But then after a while, you went, oh, you're just all horrible people. Let's hope somebody burns down your ranch or whatever it is you live in. Is there that danger with this landman as well?
I think, so the danger, as far as I can see it, is that like, it is running counter to the ecological crisis that we are obviously all living.
Yeah.
And it goes to great lengths in the opening episode to, you know, to have Tommy have this soliloquy which is a screed against renewable energy and how renewable energy is actually secretly bad. And while the oil industry is bad, at least it's upfront about being bad, whereas renewables are just secretly bad.
Yeah.
And sort of I'm watching this going, yeah, but this is a show about rich billionaires, oil tycoons. Yeah. And I didn't expect something else from that. Like, for me, where it's going to run out of runway, shall we say, is that like, just they're building an entire show around Tommy Norris. He is the landman. It's not landmen, right? Mm. He is the singular character around which they're trying to build an entire new universe. And I don't know if an entire show can be built around just this one guy.
We shall see. Our next show, Matlock. New episodes every Tuesday on Sky Witness and Now TV. Here's a clip.
I don't want an interview. I want a job. And as a reminder, I do know the number that Peabody is willing to pay, and it is significantly higher than $19 million. Of course, I wouldn't overplay my hand with Peabody either. I always say negotiations are an art and a trap.
Let's avoid traps, then. How do you know the number?
Well, you see, there's this funny thing that happens when women age. We become damn near invisible. Oh, not that I'm complaining. I had my moment in the sun. Plus, it's useful because nobody sees us coming. That's how I got through your security several times. And it's also how I knew that Peabody's counsel grabs coffee and updates his client between 8:15 and 8:25.
What's the number?
Am I hired?
No one is hired without a 2-week trial.
Right, that's Matlock. People of a certain age will remember the original Matlock. And I think the guy in the original Matlock, he was like 9,000 years old. Obviously, they've knocked off a few years for Kathy Bates and switched gender as well. And as far as I recall, the original Matlock was kind of was prone to a cowboy hat as well.
Okay. Well, I have never seen an episode of the original Matlock. I only know it as like a punchline in a number of Simpsons episodes.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Also, I haven't seen in about 20 years either. So like, All In, it's a very kind of away from my viewing consciousness. But this show is a direct, it makes direct reference to it. So as you heard there, Kathy Bates is playing Madeline Matty Matlock, a 75-year-old woman who arrives in this swanky New York law firm. You know that because they're up at the top of a skyscraper everyone is dressed in powerful suits. And she's able to worm her way in to this meeting where she says, I want a job. And the reason for wanting a job at 75 rather than enjoying her retirement is she has now gained custody of her 12-year-old grandson and needs to help raise him and her. She's widowed and her husband was a philandering cheater and blah, 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 right? So she is milking the sympathies of everyone around her throughout the entire show. I mean, that's the entire premise of it.
Yeah.
That she's this older woman who society is beginning to neglect, and with just genteel manners and a few well-placed Werther's originals, she can sort of crack the case and, you know, get the deposition or whatever she needs to do on a weekly basis. Now, that all in of itself makes for a totally fine legal procedural, right? Mm-hmm. And these kind of procedurals are now the bread and butter of network TV, right? Because, like, you couldn't really imagine the streamers making this kind of procedural drama anymore, right? Like, we're talking about the medical drama, the cop drama, the legal drama, where there's, like, a case of the week that needs to be solved.
Yeah.
With a bit of, you know, who knows, a bit of hanky-panky in the break room, or in this case, a bit of skullduggery. Because as we find out, Matlock is not all she is leading us to believe. There's a big sort of twist right at the end of the first episode. I don't know if it constitutes a spoiler, but it's enough that I won't go what it is. But all I'll say is she has arrived with an ulterior motive to this law firm,
okay,
and intends to worm her way into the good graces of everyone there in order to uncover a mystery, right?
Okay.
Now, Kathy Bates is having a great time with this, right? I mean, I don't know how old she is in real life, but playing this 75-year-old granny lawyer who is just being nice and able to disarm people, she does with great charm. And she said in an interview that this was going to be the last role she took before she retired, but she has immediately walked that back since this has become a hit. So I suppose her agents are probably thinking, actually, Kathy, you might get a few more cracks at, like, the cinematic universe still. Yeah. And this has been a huge hit for CBS. So CBS is, I think, the parent company of Paramount Plus, shall we say, in this part of the world. But as a network TV show, I mean, I think it's gaining about 10 million viewers overall per episode, which in 2024 is extremely impressive.
Good. Yeah.
They had greenlit 18. I think they shortened the first season because of the writer's strike last year, but it has already been greenlit for a second season. So they think there is legs in Matlock to go. And they do constantly make reference to the original Matlock in the show. So, she, you know, as I said, she's gone in, shall we say, undercover, and her, you know, her pen name or whatever, the name she's using is Matty Matlock, which is not her real name in real life, but she's saying it's all because I'm just this disarming lawyer whose name is Matlock, and everyone's like, oh, that old TV show, even though, of course, her young colleagues have no idea what this is.
Okay.
Like, all in, as a week, you know, as a week by week legal case kind of show where obviously they win and they uncover the surprise witness or whatever each week. It is a very simple, easy formula, but it's really, really charming. And like, if you know, sometimes you want something really, really complicated. Sometimes you want a really interesting streamer show, but sometimes you just want something to do your dishes to or to fold your laundry or do the ironing to. And this is like the absolute perfect show for that, because everyone in it is having a great time. It zips along at a great pace, and like, it's just very charming.
Yeah. Okay. But there is a story arc that extends past just each episode. There's something else she's up to there.
Yeah. But it comes as a big twist at the end of the first episode. So I don't want to
ruin ruin that. Right. Our third show is Cold Case: Who Killed John Bennett Ramsey? Ramsey, I should say. Stream all episodes now on Netflix. Here's a clip.
Boulder police did not have a track record of handling many homicides, for the simple reason that there were not many homicides to investigate. I believe that the death of John Bennett was the first homicide in Boulder that year, and there were only 5 days left in the year when it happened.
Is it fair to question the Boulder Police Department's experience, ability to investigate a homicide at this point?
I don't think so. Just because you have one homicide in a year, I think is actually a sign of remarkable strength in a community.
There you go. This particular case has been documented A lot.
Very much so. And there's more to come. So the 30th anniversary is in 2026. And I think in production at the moment is the dramatisation with Melissa McCarthy and Clive Owen. So we can expect drama to be coming at some point as well. So it's kind of like America's version of the Madeleine McCann case, or to some degree, I would say, like our Sophie Toscan de Plantier kind of case, right? And like the parallels there are that JonBenet was found murdered in her house on the 26th of December, right at the end of the year, and the police really messed up the investigation. And immediately, they kind of threw the suspicion via the media towards her parents, who are John and Patsy, who later died of ovarian cancer about, I think, 14 years ago. And all in, it's a, you know, a show like this is a very, it's a very well-known case, right? The JonBenet Ramsey case. It's this very cause célèbre of childhood murders. And whenever a show like this comes along, a true crime documentary, well, we know that they're not going to uncover who the culprit is. So the title of Who Killed JonBenet is obviously a fallacy, right?
Yes.
Because we would know by now if someone had been arrested. So a show like this really has to make, for me, a case of why it exists. And really, the, you know, I shouldn't have been quite as doubtful, because it comes from a creator named, or a documentarian named Joe Berlinger, who was nominated for an Oscar a few years ago for his documentary Paradise Lost, which is about this trio of teenage boys who called the West Memphis Three, who went down for a murder they didn't commit. And that was a very, very, you know, critically lauded documentary, kind of a precursor to making a murder, you know, making a murder in its style. So this is a really stylish, well-told examination of the case. And really what it is it puts under the microscope the role of the media in this specific case. Because as I said, very quickly, because it's a bit of a, like, it's a weird case. There's no getting around it. There's footage of JonBenet as a kind of five-year-old beauty queen, shall we say, where she is walking around in quote unquote like very adult ways, right?
Yeah.
And like the footage is without a doubt a bit weird,
like
it just is, but all in the guilt that was applied to her parents very rapidly, or the suspicion of guilt I should say, falls apart under the slightest of scrutiny, which Joe Berlinger as a documentarian reveals in this three-part documentary. It is very, very well made. It is very, very fair to all of the participants. And it makes a really strong case for kind of how we as a media consuming public need to be as skeptical of the media as of anyone else in a case like this.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that was well known, just those pictures of her as a kid and they were, you know, dressing up and she was only a child, and her makeup act like an adult was weird. But that in itself doesn't mean anything untoward happened.
Agreed.
That was,
yeah. So like there's a few things where like police buried DNA evidence that exonerated the family without releasing it for 6 months. There's another, like there's a really kind of tragic bit where they're using previous interviews with Patsy, JonBenet's mother, who, as I said, has passed away. So they're interviewing her and she's talking about how one day, you know, a couple of months after, she sat down to watch, turned on a TV show, the Geraldo like talk show on US TV, where they run a mock trial of the parents there on like afternoon TV and find them guilty, and include evidence of this sort of psychologist saying like, look at this footage, which I won't explain because it's not really suitable for daytime radio, but like, look at this footage, it shows X, and like then they show us the footage unedited and it shows us clearly Y, if you get me. So like, all in, it's just a very sad addition to the story. And the third episode sort of posits a few potential suspects in the case, and it's all very creepy and weird stuff because obviously this is the murder of a 6-year-old girl. But what I would say is, like, as lurid as that could be as a topic, I think it is a surprisingly sensitive exploration of the topic, given the nature of the crime.
Yeah, indeed. Right, those three shows are Landman. New episodes every Monday. You have to say it like Landman. Every new episodes every Monday on Paramount Plus. Matlock, new episodes every Tuesday on Sky Witness and Now TV. And Cold Case, Who Killed JonBenet Ramsey? You can stream all episodes now on Netflix. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.